We're going to read the first 8 verses together. Ironically enough, without knowing that Becky was going to sing that song, it goes along great with the message today. Remain in me. And I put it up there on PowerPoint. But John 15:1-8 is talking about remaining in God. Remaining connected to God. So I'm going to read the first 8 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And if the branches are gathered, thrown into a fire and burned. If you abide in me, and your words abide in you, or my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. I don't know if you caught the key word in that text. Abide in me, or some versions will say, remain in me. So staying connected to people is important. It's more important today than ever. See, we have social media, everything on our phones, and that's supposed to keep us connected, right? We've seen Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. They allow us to instantly post information about ourselves for others to see and to see what things are happening in our lives, right? In an instant, I can post an update and everyone will know what the Barnesville Church of the Nazarene is doing this morning. But is that really abiding and staying within the Lord, if that's all we're doing is keeping people up to date on social media? We need to be together and connect with each other. Cell phones make it easier for us to call or text anywhere in the world to anyone at any time. Staying connected to people who are halfway around the world can be done at the push of a button or the click of a mouse on the internet. But regardless of what technology you're using, a communication technology is only as good as its connection. See, if the power lines are down and the cell towers are down, is this phone useless? It needs connection. If your internet's down, are you going to get a page to load that you really need? Same thing, if we're not connected to the vine, if we're not connected to God, we're only as good as if that connection is there. So regardless of that technology, you're only as good as the connection that is fit. If the connection isn't solid, you will not have a good flow of information. You won't be able to understand what others are trying to communicate if the power line's down and the communication and it's crackling back and forth, you won't get to hear what they're saying. So you won't be able to understand them. Jesus is working to make that very point with his words recorded in John's Gospel. Staying connected to Christ is about more than just hearing his words. Staying connected to Christ is life itself. That's what Jesus is trying to say. Apart from him, we can do nothing. But connected with him, we can accomplish all of our dreams, all of our hopes, all of our wants in life. There are two main important points that Jesus is trying to make here in this passage. Only a connection to the vine itself gives life. And only connected to the vine can you produce fruit. So, one, when you're connected to God, He gives us life. And two, when we're connected to that life support, we bear fruit. We witness to other people. We step into situations that people need help with. But if we're like what Jesus was saying here, is a branch that falls off a tree, it's not going to grow. You can't find a branch that fell off of your property out of the many trees here in Barnesville and plant it in the ground and hope it'll continue to live, right? That branch has got to be connected to a life source. Last week I was talking to the teens about something similar to this, and we were talking about a plant, and I said, if I left this plant that I have at home and I took it out of its soil and I said, okay, I don't want to give it any sunlight, any life, any water, any nutrients that it needs, will it survive? Driving home the point that Jesus was making in this passage is saying that when we're not connected with God, we're not bearing fruit. We're not living the best life we can possibly live. If there's only one thing the people of Jesus' day were familiar with, was it was grapevines. Grapes were important in Israel for several reasons. They were a source of fruit in their diet. They were used to produce wine. Wine was used in meals. It was used as medicine. It was used in their worship. Grapevines and the fruit they produced were a very important part of life in Jesus' day. So he uses the image of this vine in John 15 to become the very picture that would connect, that would make a connection to the point if they could visualize what he was saying. And so most of Jesus' ministry was about telling stories or making a connection that people could see, that could visibly see. Jesus uses the familiar picture of a grapevine to describe himself. What does a grapevine do? It provides nourishment, provides life, bears fruit. It provides all the life and support that it needs to the branches connected to it. That's what Jesus does. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you are the branches, are connected to Jesus, if you want to receive what Jesus offers, then you need to be connected to Him, right? We can't do it alone. We can't do it by ourselves. I try to get the teens to understand that it's not their life on their own, making their decisions. If we're not connected with Jesus, things are a lot more harder in life. But when we remain and abide in Jesus and that connection is there, we produce life, doors open, things become easier, and people come into our lives at that times that we need it the most. He also says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. The inspired words of the Bible are what give us the connection to Jesus. Those words also strengthen that connection. So the Word of God is not just some book that we have in front of the pews that you're sitting at or the ones that sit at home on your table or wherever. It's not just a book that we take around and say, this is what represents Christianity. It's a life book that was given to us because we don't have Jesus walking around in Barnesville, Georgia, do we? But we have His Word to guide us, to lead us, to direct us, and to remind us that His life, his words and his ministry and the way that he worked back then should connect us today. If we abide in his words, if we remain those words and put them into life and action in our own life and trust them, our relationship will strengthen. So I want to ask you, how connected are you to Jesus? How well do you stay connected to him by reading and studying his word? That's the point that Jesus is trying to make in our heads. Read the Bible. He wants us to say, hey, not only is my word, not only are you connected to me when you remain in me, but my words are meaningful. It's not just a book that gives meaning to it. It's what helps us guide through decisions. When you're going through a hard time, you read Psalms and look at the songs that David wrote in the book of Psalms. When you're going through other troubles and life just seems down, look at the book of Job and see how his life turned around. And so, God's saying, read the Bible. You might also say that you hardly have time for that because you're busy with work, school, hobbies, hunting, whatever else you may do, whatever may fill up your time. But there's something to think on. We always find time to post on social media. I can always find time to post something about my life. And I know the teenagers always have time to do Snapchat, always have time to do Instagram. But when you ask them, have you had time to study the Word of God? It's, oh, okay, I've had too much homework this week. I can't do that. I've had too many chores to do. I can't do that. But if you were watch some of their social media accounts, you could see that they do have time for social media, Facebook, Instagram, whatever. What about this one? We seem to have all the time in the world to watch TV, movies, things like that. But not often do we think about carving out time to read God's Word. Sometimes it's even for book lovers, we have all the time in the world to read a new book, but can't seem to carve some time out to read the greatest book. The book that gives us life and remains us connected to God. You see, we have all kinds of time to read and watch things on the internet and on television. Is our connection to our schedule what controls our life? Or is it our connection to Jesus, life-giving word, that controls our life? Don't lose your connection, because only connection to the vine gives life. For a branch to stay alive, it must be able to produce anything. It has to stay connected to that which gives its life, whether that's a vine, a trunk of a tree, a stalk of a bush, the roots of a plant. As long as the branches remain connected, do you know what it'll do? It'll produce fruit. It'll produce life. It'll bear fruit, and you'll see different changes. But apart from all of that, we can't do anything. We can't witness. We can't outreach. We can't do the things that we want to do when we're first not centered on God. But when God is centered in our life and he becomes the root and we become the branches, then I can reach out to other teens. Then Megan can reach out to children during vacation Bible school. Then the adults can reach the neighbors that live next door. Then you can reach the person that you work with that needs Christ, or that friend that walked away. But the thing is we have to be remaining in God, abiding in his word. You don't have to go out and demand life to produce fruit. So you don't go out to a peach tree or a strawberry plant or even a tomato plant and say, you will bear fruit today. It doesn't work that way. You can't yell at it. Pastor can't get angry and yell at his fruit to produce. He can't yell at me. So, I was wondering if y'all would catch that. You don't have to tell the branches to bear fruit. They'll do it if they're connected to the life source. I don't have to hound our teenagers to reach out. They do it on their own. The board members know it when I reported that in the last month and a half, there's been about 10 new teenagers that have come and visited. And that's not me saying now, Emily has to go out and tell everyone in school that she needs someone to come to church because Pastor Jet wants more people in church. No, all we do is we love on our students based on the connection we have with Christ and watch them make their own connections and their produce their own fruit by reaching out and bringing others in. That's what pastors do, is we try to remind you that you remain in the Word to bear fruit. You can't yell at people to come to Christ. That would probably put a negative connotation on our church, right? If you go out and yell in the streets, come to Barnesville Church of the Nazarene. They might think you're a little crazy. But, so you can't yell at a tree to produce leaves, a plant to grow, a vine to produce fruit. It will produce fruit all on its own because that's what branches do. That's what plants do. Doesn't need any guidance. The same is true for us. Only connected to the vine can we produce fruit. A branch not connected to life itself cannot live and bear fruit. Jesus made that clear when he said, "Remain in me and I will remain in you." No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Nope, know about you, but that means it's important. If God's saying we can't come, you can't bear fruit, you can't witness to those people around you by yourself, that means you have to have a real, tangible connection with God and keep it alive by reading His Word, by praying, by surrounding yourself with Christians and good influences. As His disciples, we want to share with others what He has taught us, believing and trusting in everything Jesus did and said moves our hearts to tell people about Jesus. So everything we experience should want to move my heart in such a way that I want to be that Christ-like example to step into other people's lives and say, if you want peace, let me tell you who brings your peace. If you want these struggles gone, let me tell you who can break those chains. Who can make your way straight. But it remains that we have to be abiding in Christ before we can bear fruit. Believing and trusting in everything Jesus did and said moves our hearts. Sharing Jesus saves people by connecting them to that life-giving vine. When you share the way that you came to Christ, you're giving that connection. You're saying, hey, I want you. Not because Pastor and I want them all these pews filled, but you want to share that life-giving source to a friend in need. Because you want them to have the same peace, the same hope, the same joys, the same spiritual victories that you have by knowing that the God that we serve loves each and every one of us and intervenes right in that point that we need Him the most. So, I think I have another slide up there that'll tell... looked at an acronym for the word abide. And I was trying to come up with something to say, and I found this one on the internet. that describes the word abide. So the A stands for awe-filled wonder for God. B, becoming like Jesus. I, informed by the word. D, devoted to God. And E, experiencing the Holy Spirit. So when you think of the term abide, that's what I want you to think of. Those are just my terms that I found. You can fill in however way you want to fill it in. But I believe that first time when we accept God, we're awe-filled and wondered by the power that He transforms our lives. Then we're on a journey to become more like Jesus. Then, as we're walking in our journey, we're informed by this amazing book that gives us life and gives us wisdom and guidance. And then we continue our journey by reading, praying, devotionals, sharing time with friends, going out to eat, whatever you want to call it, but devoting time to spend with God. Megan and I devote that to our time to spending with God by doing morning devotionals, praying in the morning. Whatever chance we get, we find a way to carve out time. No matter how busy life gets, we always try to carve out time to read a devotional, to talk about Jesus, to do something with each other, to remain or abiding in Christ by being devoted to God. And then experiencing the Holy Spirit, coming to church and removing everything that may come into your life, dropping it at the door and saying, you know what, I want to experience the living God in my church. And I want to experience it in a way that I want to drop everything else that I was worried about because He already is in there, in that situation. I want to surround myself with my friends and my church family in this building and just experience God in a new way. And that's what I've been praying for our teens to do as we go to camp. I want them to experience God in such a way this week that it opens their eyes to a new awe-filled wonder of God, to a new way of becoming like Jesus, to a deeper development in who they are and whose they are, because they're all children of God. And so sometimes it's easy to come back from camp, like even last year, and get stuck in a root. But the moment I got involved in planning the camp, I started praying for our teens to have that experience of the Holy Spirit like they've never seen before. It's only by God's grace to us, through Jesus Christ, that we can know Him personally and collectively. But grace does not mean being passive. Grace is opposed to earning, but not effort. We earn it because Jesus said, I want you to have a relationship with the Father. It's not because we ran up and prayed to God and said, please, please, let me earn this. What can I do to earn it? Jesus said, God loves you this much that I'm willing to take a step on that cross and say, you're loved whether I know your sin or not. I want you to be in relationship with the Father. And so by no effort on our part, we've earned that grace. It's up to each one of us to respond to God's initiative and learn to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18 says that. It's up to us to learn and grow and know that the grace of the Lord. So in case you didn't catch this in the first time, Jesus uses the word abide 11 times in John 15. Had to go back and count how many times I kept hearing the word abide when I read it multiple times. So that must mean that it's important, right? That we need to see that word. We need to remain connected to God so that He can work in our lives and we can produce fruit that will benefit this world and those around us. So don't lose your connection with him. Don't lose your connection and think that you can do things on your own. It's a constant message I try to pour into our teams, is that we can do, we think we can do everything. Sometimes I like to do everything. But if you get to know us more and more as we've been here, Megan will tell you that she'll have to remind me that I, apart from God, I can't do everything I want to do. But when I rely on God to be the center of my focus, the center of the ministry here, the center of my life that the kids can see, then all of a sudden I see that they're reaching other people. I see that what conversations we're having are becoming deeper and deeper, and they're on fire for God. Because you have a bunch of kids here that love this church with all their heart. Love serving and love growing and love learning who they are. And it is our privilege just to be able to work in their short time here for their high school, junior high school years. But it's our job to lead them into abiding in Christ. To teach them that you have to be connected to God to bear fruit. You can't be doing things on your own. No matter what the world says, we need that connection. And so, I just wanted to share that with you this morning because I felt like it was important that God was telling me over and over. If you've known the whole process of ordination, as Pastor explained it this morning, if you've known what we've gone through this whole journey, then you know that John 15 was exactly where my heart was through the whole process, is that I've got to abide in Jesus, because no matter what, I can't bear fruit on my own. I have to remain to him. Pastor Kevin, I'm going to turn it over to you now.